Hello out there, and welcome to Work with Miles Okazaki, where I share a few things I've picked up over the years as a guitarist and composer in New York City. If you like what you hear, you could go over to Patreon and become a member for a very small fee and have access to video versions of all of these episodes and others that aren't included here. Download materials such as sheet music and exercises, and have the ability to ask me questions directly and request topics for new episodes. This program focuses on the guitar, but goes into many other areas, so there should be something for everyone. And the show starts now. All right, welcome back. Shout out to new members in the last few days. We have Sid Wolf, Mauricio Borba, Lincoln McKenzie, and William Anderson. Welcome to the club. Please feel free to comment, request ideas, and anything to make this experience more relevant to you personally. Because I could sit here all day and just practice and talk about the things that I practice, but I don't know if anyone even is interested or understands what I'm talking about or anything like that. But I did have a request that I will get into today, because today is Sunday, and on Sunday, sometimes I like to go to church. And by church, I mean the church of J.S. Bach, and look at a chorale. The chorales are four-voice vocal pieces that are in many different settings in Bach's work, in the Passions and in the especially in the cantatas, which are the Sunday service pieces. You know, there's hundreds of them, I can't even remember how many, but there's these cantatas that have chorales within them, and the chorales are usually based on some sort of old melody that people would know, and then it's harmonized, you know, a certain way. So a while back, I looked at, I think, one phrase of a chorale. I was in a member question video where they were just like, how might you work on this? And I talked about, well, you could play one voice and sing another voice, or you could play two voices and sing another voice, or you could try to play all four voices. And so that was kind of in real time, trying to figure out how to play this chorale, like all in the fingers and the voice. And I'd like to do it a slightly different way today, and look at trying to analyze it a little bit and improvise on it. Now, this may be a long video. I have no idea. I haven't done this before, and I may make mistakes, because what I'm going to try to do is I'm going to try to record this chorale one voice at a time, layer it up. So it's like a guitar choir. I'm the choir, okay? And then once that's going, I'll try to improvise on it and talk about it a little bit. So the chorale is number 160, Herzlich tut mich verlangen. Sorry, German members, I have no German abilities. And I will start doing this, and I'll talk a little bit while I'm doing it, but I'm going to try to record it one voice at a time, and I'm going to start with the soprano, because that's the main melody. This is a melody, this is a famous one that Bach did harmonize a number of different ways in different works. You hear it coming up here and there, and with different harmonies, different keys even. And this one is it's in C major or E minor, you know. But anyway, we have a empty key signature. So here we go. Here we go. I'm just going to try and do this and see if it works. I have a little looping pedal here, and to really get in that church mode, I got a little reverb. That's unusual for me, but I'm going to, you know, try to get into the vibe here. So I'll give myself two clicks on the guitar so I know where it starts. I give this fermata two beats if you're playing along. Give this one the regular three. One, two, three. Again. Give Fermata and Extra Beat. And this one, three beats. One, two, three. Next line. Give this one two beats. Two. This one, regular three beats. One, two, three. Give this one two beats. Now I give it a little space here. Okay, now I'm going to start the next layer. This is going to be bass. Is the tenor. accidentally played the bass. So I'm going to let this go around again, and I'll catch it on the next time. But as this is going, I can start to try to understand what's happening. That's a G. Then it's kind of D minor. I can see that F sharp is going to G. And then it's going to A minor, right? Okay, here we go. This is actually pretty hard to do right. I'm looking for the accidentals. For example, I'm just going to stop it for a second. And now that I have it all there, so I'm looking at these now. How am I negotiating these as changes without really writing down a whole bunch of chord changes, for example? Because Bach didn't think about chord changes, obviously. And he didn't even really think about 1-4-5 and all that type of stuff. That came later. He's thinking melodically. So I want to also think melodically. But what I look for oftentimes when I'm just trying to deal with some notes and what's happening without analyzing it too much is I look for the accidentals. That first thing has a G sharp. I can see right away that's some kind of E7 type of sound, right? There's an E triad there with D in the bass. That's this. Oh, sorry. You know, that type of sound. So that's like... And then that's going to A minor. Okay, so that's like a 5-1 A minor. Now I see the C sharp there and then going to a D minor. So that's like, I see if I were to write chord changes for those first four things, I say E7 A minor, A7 D minor, right? Let's see how that sounds. Right, I just played, for the seventh chords, I just played diminished, right? I'm going to turn down this reverb a little. A little heavy on the reverb. Right, so that'll work. Let's try it again. Now what's after that? What do we have after that? D minor, and then I see the C sharp there. So that's back to it. You know, so these accidentals will tell you what's going on. They'll tell you what's happening that's outside of the key, you know. That's kind of a shortcut. That's my little trick. Because I can see right away that's another A7 going back to D minor again. So it's the same sound twice. So sad. Now what is this? That B flat in the bass. Well, that to me says G minor. Because I see G, B flat, D. Okay, so that's a G minor. So it goes from the D minor to a G minor. And then to an A7. Right? Or into an A major. Right? So the chords there, I'm thinking, okay, E, E7, A minor, A7, D minor, D, do, do, then G minor, you know, so that's sort of, you feel like this whole thing is kind of in D minor-ish in the, by the time it gets there, because that's like a, this is like a 4-5, right, because G minor to A7, so that much, you know, let's hear it. Okay, so all I'm thinking there is E7, A minor, A7, D minor, A7, D minor, G minor, A7. Okay, continuing on. Okay, it starts. I see it starts after the A. Well, it goes to an E minor there. I can see that right away, right? Now what's this here? Well, there's an F sharp, but it's going down to E. Na-da. Well, I see the next thing is A minor. So the A minor with an E in the bass there. But what is before that? This one may require a little looking at. So this is a diminished, right? F sharp diminished kind of sound. It's not the usual diminished that we get going to A. Usually we would get something like an F diminished would go more usually to A. But this is one that's like na, 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 na. And that clearly looks to me like a B7 kind of sound. Yeah, so it's just the notes of B7. Now I'm using modern terms just because that's what people know. I mean, Bach wasn't thinking B7. Let me play a B7 here, but you know what I'm saying. And this is an E7, right? With the seventh right there and that D natural. Okay, the only chord that's confusing to me in that progression is that F sharp, and how to think about it, really. Because F sharp is like F sharp diminished 7 is the same as A minor, is the same as A diminished, right? So, in a way, it's this kind of sound diminished 1-1, which we did talk about in another episode in tunes like, you know, If I Should Lose You, these type of tunes, you know, where the, you know. Look at me, where there's a diminished one going to the one, and that's to me is that kind of sound. So you have, so if I'm soloing on, I might think, and then B7. That's just a secondary dominant to dominant to tonic in A minor. Okay, so for that whole first line, I'm thinking. E7, A minor, A7, D minor, A7, D minor, G minor, A7, E minor, A diminished, A minor, B7, E7, A minor. Let me try and play that. Anyway. And so on. So, well, let's just go ahead and look a little more at this, if you have the patience. So, that first thing, well, that's an A minor. I'm looking at the beginning of the second line now. So, but to me, that sounds like a quick kind of 2-5-1 almost like. So, A minor is, but see, when you have that F sharp that comes in, that makes it more like a D7, really. So I'm going to call that a D7, actually. Yeah. Because it's going here. So let's call that D7. Now you see F natural on the bass. We're still with the G in the top. That makes that a G7, right? Now we have an A minor. And then we have a B diminished, it looks like. Yeah. Sort of a sound, you know, you could think of it, well, it's going to E, I mean, sorry, it's going to C, which is going to C7, which is going to F, which is going back to C. Okay, so this is a little bit complicated, this one. So we got D7, and G7, and then the G7 doesn't go to C, it goes to, like, well, actually, you could kind of think of this as a C. Should I call it a C or A minor? You know, I'm going to call that C because I like the G7 going to C sound. It just has this A in the top, you know, which makes it sound like A minor, but it could be like a C6. And this is it'd be diminished, but it's clearly is like a G7 because it's going back to C. But the C quickly, that B flat, turns to like a dominant chord, and then it goes to the 4 and then back to the 1. So it's like a plagal cadence, 4-1 amen cadence. That's appropriate for our church outing today. So da, 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 da. Okay, so and then we have I'm going to just continue to analyze this whole thing, and then I'll go through and play it. Okay, and we got F, right? So I'm thinking, what is it? This kind of like in the key of C, the second phrase here, you know, because it's like goes to D7 to G, which is the dominant, you know, and then with the F in the bass, that makes it dominant, and then to tonic, you know, and then back to dominant, and then back to tonic, and then back to subdominant to FC, you know, F back to C, you know. Okay, now for the second phrase of that line. Na, that's a C, so na, then it goes to the 4. Na, now what is it? Clearly a diminished, straight diminished, right? Na, na, and this is still the same diminished. Really, this next thing is just a sort of a different voicing, more like an A7. Na, now this is, now we're back in the realm of D minor, so I call this, so that's like C. If we're in the key of C, you know, that's like 1. You know, this is 1-4. And this is like the 5-2. Now we're on 2, right? And back to 5-2, right? And then we got. A D7, right? So this is, now we're back to the 5-5 because it's going to go to G for sure. There it is, there's a G. 6-5-1. Uh oh, looks like we've modulated. Okay, so we've got, but now this is sort of a little quick little journey into G major. I thought it was going to stay in C, but it kind of doesn't because it goes. Once you start on this, I'm looking at the very last chord of the second system. Da, da, da. Now we could, if we were still hearing it in C, we'd hear this as a dominant, but once it goes da, 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 C, D, G there, that's a 4-5-1. That's definitely a G major sounding. You know, now what does he do? Now, is this C? Is this a one chord or is it a four chord? Let's see. Oh, sounds like we've gone back to C, because now it's not a D major anymore. It's a D minor. So that means we've gone back to C. C, D minor, C. So that's one. And then we got an F sharp in the bass. That tells me it's a D7. So that's a secondary dominant. Oh, a little switcheroo. Ends on E major. Now, why is that? Well, that's like the five of the six. So it's like it's going to the relative minor. Okay? So I know that was kind of fast, but that's the way I'm thinking about it when I'm playing through it. I'll play through it a little bit more just so you can try to hear those things. Basically, I'm looking at these accidentals, you know. A minor, D minor, A minor, D minor, and then to A. Now it's going back to A minor. Back to A minor again. D7, A minor, A7, D minor, G minor, A minor, E minor, A diminished, A minor, B7, E7, A minor. I'm calling out changes like it's a regular tune. D7, G, G7, A minor, or C major, 1, 4, 1 in the key of C there, F to A7 to D minor, A7 to D, A. Now this is a D7, G, A minor, back to G, and then 4-5-1. And G, now C major, 1-2-1, 5-5, 5-5-6. Okay, I'll call them out again. So it's going to start in E7 to A minor. A minor, A7, D minor, A7, D minor, G minor, A7, I guess. E minor, A diminished, A minor, B7, A, E7, A minor. That whole same thing again. E7, A minor, A7, D minor, A7, D minor, G minor, A. E minor, A diminished, A minor, B7, E7, A minor. D7, G, G7, C, G7, C, F, C, C, F, G minor, A, D minor, A. And this is a D7, G major, A minor, back to G, C, D, G. Now we're going to C, C, D minor, C, D7, G, A minor, E7, A minor, E7. Now I'll play it without talking. I'll try and play it kind of in time, as if I'm playing. Thank you. play a little more freely on it. Like, instead of playing 16th notes and stuff, I'll play, like, kind of just loosely. That's enough of that for now, but I could really keep going on like this for a long time, and I know I went through that analysis a little bit fast, but there's actually a lot of harmony going on in this one. But the chorales for me have taught me a lot. They taught me about reading, even trying to get stuff right, even though it seems very simple. It taught me about melodic lines, because they're all built from melodic lines. They have to be singable in order to actually work. Because, you know, he was writing for people that are not necessarily that trained in music. You know, you have to be able to just come to church and sing. So, and they're still, they just sound cool. They just sound great, you know. I could sit there and just listen to that. Not necessarily my version, but, you know, I could, when you hear these with four voices, if you go look them up, I mean, they're just beautiful little compositions. All right, enjoy your Sunday, and hope this was a useful video. All right, see you next time.
Well, that's it for today's episode. I hope you found it useful for your personal work. This podcast was produced by Ed Gavitt, with the original source being a video on Patreon. If you'd like to see this video, head on over to Patreon and search for Work with Miles Okazaki. If you go through a browser and sign up as a member, it's a very small fee. And if you like the convenience of the iOS app, it's just a little bit more. In any case, as a member, you have access to categories such as exercises for the guitar, things to download, things to practice, guided practice sessions where I practice and you play along, a category called The Language of Jazz, where I go through standards and famous solos, transcriptions, listening sessions, and also a complete series on every composition by Thelonious Monk, as it might be played on the guitar. I do detailed demonstration of material from my book Fundamentals of Guitar, and have prepared special exercises and software even for members of the site. Every Sunday we sit down with some Bach, take a look at some violin sonatas, cello suites, inventions, well-tempered clavier, things like that. We work on sight reading. We work on listening, exercises to train your ear, exercises to train rhythmically off the instrument. And then as often as I can, I sit down and do a mailbag episode where I go through listener questions and answer them directly. We're having a lot of fun over there, and I really hope you can join us. And thanks for joining us today on this podcast version, and for your support of creative music. See you next time.